Hey, come on, give the band a clap. So you come to Father's Day, and of course the obvious place to go to is Father God. What is Father God like? And I think the reason we do that is because when we reflect upon our own fathers, whether our father was present and an awesome dad, or whether he wasn't present at all, or whether he was present and there were difficulties. I've got a book in my study, and all you really need to know about the book is just the title, just two words. And the two words are Father Hunger. Father Hunger. Because it doesn't matter, or it doesn't seem to me that it matters how old you are, how much as a child, a son or a daughter you grow, there is something within us which has a deep desire for a connection, for a sense of who we are, or where we've come from, and that comes from our dad. It comes from our family of origin. And we go through our lives and we reflect. As we grow up, our dad is just, if we have a father, that's just who we expect them to be. We don't expect there to be anything different. We don't know any different. Until we start to perhaps do some comparisons and hear some other stories. And then we start to discover that our dad is different to some other dads in some ways. Whether that be a really positive thing or whether that be something which is confrontational and we have to deal with. So this morning, just for the next 10, 12 minutes or so, I just wanted to unpack what a father does and compare it to our Father in heaven. Because I think there's some really valid comparisons which actually may help us. And may for you this morning, whether you are a father, whether you had a present father, whether you didn't have a present father, as Manny has already shared around communion time, we have a heavenly Father who can fill in some of the gaps and provide for us in ways that perhaps our earthly father didn't. So I want to look at what it means to be a father and what it means to have a heavenly Father. And I think the first thing I want to say this morning is that dads observe. Dads observe. Have you ever seen that? Have you seen that picture, that sign that sometimes you see on the side of a soccer field or a Auskick field where it basically says our kids are not playing for the World Cup or the grand final, so let's act like that? Have you seen that photo? I used to take my son to Auskick when he was younger and then to soccer later on, and you observe the other parents and they're cheering and they're encouraging and then they get really fired up, and we used to have rules around how a parent should behave on the sidelines of the soccer field. Do you know what I'm saying? And you see some dads and you think, is there some like unfulfilled fantasy, unfulfilled a requirement that you had that you never fulfilled that you're now wanting to see fulfilled through your child? What's going on there that the parent, that the dad wants to see their son do things or their daughter do things that they never did? I feel, just as a bit of earthly wisdom, that a dad's number one role in raising children is actually to observe, to try and understand that while this child that you have and you're observing growing up, they may look something like you, they may have some of your mannerisms and some of your characteristics, they may use the turn of phrase that you catch yourself using, they're actually very much an individual and very much their own person. I think a key to being a good dad is to observe and study your own children to see what they're like. Not only to see what they're like, but also to understand what they like. And I feel like a number one thing that a dad can do for his family is to resource and to provide and to help that child dreams and visions that they have for their own lives be fulfilled. To see them grow and become the person that they can want to be, because what they want to be, the things that excite them, the things that make them buzz, the career choices that they may take, whatever it is, are perhaps going to be different to what I took, to what a father or my father took. So I think a number one thing a dad does is actually to observe. And there's a scripture for this. And it goes to the heart of God's attitude toward you. His heart for you as a father. This is Isaiah and God interplaying in conversation here in Isaiah 62. The Lord will hold you in his hand for all to see. A splendid crown in the hand of God. Can you just unpack in your mind what that looks like and just the emotion, what that feels like? A proud father holding that child in the palm of his hand, the hand of God, will hold you in his hand for all to see. My son's not here today, which is really good because I'm going to use him as an illustration. But it's a good one. So this week, he's studying engineering. And I got to say, he's studying engineering at Kurt, and I am so proud of him. But the idea of me studying engineering at Kurt, that I can't actually get it around my head how this has actually happened, that this son of mine is studying engineering. When he was doing maths in year 8, that was it. I'm out, I said, Clem. That's it, I'm out, mate. You have reached the peak of my understanding of any sense of mathematics. I'm done. And he had to plow through and he had to work hard. We had to get him a tutor. But Melinda said something to him once. She said, well, your dad's not much good at this stuff. But your granddad was. In fact, your granddad was an engineer. And I remember growing up hearing the stories of how my dad had to plow through. He didn't get much support growing up. He had to plow through TAFE after high school. He had to go to university the hard way. And I see that in my son. And so why am I telling you that? Because you can hear the emotion in my voice and you can sense in me that I'm holding him in the hand for you all to see because I'm so incredibly proud of him. That's how God feels about you. Your Heavenly Father, he sees you. He knows you. And he says, look at this. This is my child. You may think, oh, there's not much about me. There's not much to see about me. But that's not what God sees. He is who you are who he says you are. He holds you in the hand. Never again will you be called the forsaken city or the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight, the bride of God. For the Lord delights in you and will claim you as his bride. Your children will commit themselves to you, O Jerusalem, just as a young man commits himself to his bride. Then God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. And the story goes on, the passage goes on. Next one, Thomas. O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. Give the Lord no rest until he completes his work, until he makes Jerusalem the pride of the earth. There's something that happens in this passage. It switches here, and I want you to see it. Someone sent me as a word for me, a prophetic word, and it was really a word of exhortation, telling me what I needed to do, but also to encourage me. But look at what it says here, Christians. If you believe in Jesus, look at what it says. Give the Lord no rest until he completes his work. That is profound. Because here's the thing, in your mind you're thinking, why do I need to pray? Because God knows everything and God is good. So why do I need to pray? It doesn't make sense. But here in this piece of scripture, it says, give the Lord no rest until he completes his work. Like a child nagging their parent, right? Take us to Adventure World, buy us this, do this for us. Eventually they wear you down. Right? There is something in here. I want you to catch this. This is really important. God does not want you to stay as a baby. If he is your father, as glorious and as wonderful as it is to hold a baby, that is not, you don't want them to stay a baby for the rest of their life. You want them to grow up. What do for a baby? You spoon-fed that little child. But eventually you want them to start eating. Eventually, you want them to feed themselves. Eventually, you want them to cook you dinner, right? Yes. I can get an amen for that. Your relationship with God actually has to grow. You have to, this is going to sound almost blasphemous. You have to hold God responsible for what he said that he would do. You have to hold God responsible for what he said he would do. If he's made you a promise, if he's given you a word, if there's something in the scripture that you want, that you desire from God, you need to grow up. You need to mature as his child. You need to give the Lord no rest until he completes his work. Don't tell me what God hasn't done for you unless you've asked. So dads observe. Dads also forgive. We used to live in a house in Triggs growing up, the suburb of Triggs, and I just remember that because I remember hearing the ocean and smelling the salt air come over. And I was sitting out on our veranda once. We had one of those concrete floor verandas. And this is a bit embarrassing, but I will go with it. I had a little radio that I used to use when I was delivering papers. I had that radio set up on the veranda. I was listening to INXS back in the day. And I was sweeping up the veranda. And I was dancing along to INXS with my broom in my hand, sweeping the veranda. Essentially, that's what I was meant to be doing. And lo and behold, as I'm sweeping, smash goes the front window of the house. Glass everywhere. And so I'm thinking, Dad's coming home soon. And he did. And Dad came home and he said to me, "Mark, how did the window smash?" And I said, "Well, I was sweeping up the veranda, Dad." And Dad is like, "Because you were sweeping up the veranda and weren't mucking around, we won't worry about the smashed window." Now, my dad's passed away now, and the story there it is. But dads forgive. Dads forgive. That's what a father does. They forgive. The child grows up, they do whatever they do. But ultimately, the father wants to maintain the relationship with the child no matter what. And there's a story, and I was coming home from lunch, and I was speaking to Jess Abraham, and I said, "Well, what should I preach on Sunday? It's Father's Day." She said, "You should tell the story of the prodigal son." I thought, man, that's a long story. But I'm going to tell a little bit of the prodigal son. And I want you to do something because I'm reading some of this scripture. I want you to think about who you are in the story. Because there's three or four main characteristics. You can't have the father, but you can have the prodigal son, or you can have the